Will there ever be a movie about the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry? Weekend Edition film commentator Kevin Murphy wouldn't be surprised. He says there have been over 175 movies devoted to baseball. We have 9 adaptations of Casey at the Bat. Thomas Edison's film The Ball Game came out in 1898, 5 years before the first World Series. There's even a collection of Gambian postage stamps commemorating great baseball movies. Today, Kevin picks 2 of his favorites.
I don't love baseball. Please forgive me. I barely even know baseball. I'm pretty much like Lou Gehrig's mom in Pride of the Yankees. Remember?
What do they do with the pillows?
They are not pillows. They are bases. You slide into them.
I slide into them?
Just watch, Mama. Just watch.
I haven't followed the game since I was a kid, and my hometown Chicago teams repeatedly yanked up my hopes like a rusty nail from an old board, then hammered them back down again. The emotional costs are just too high. Since then, I've retreated to the safety of Australian rules football, and my baseball watching is limited to that vicarious and often excessively bucolic version of the game, the baseball movie. Sure, it's not the same thing, but the seats are good, the snacks are cheaper, and your team never loses. But if I'm going to rekindle an affection for baseball, I must dismiss those recent mawkish, roomy-eyed peons to the game, like The Rookie and For Love of the Game, and I'm going to shelve the most popular examples, Bull Durham, Field of Dreams, The Natural, and A League of Their Own. I'm looking for something different, something rare, stories of real ballplayers with stats and lives and complexities of life. Let's start with a terrific documentary from 1998, The Life and Times of Hank Greenberg. Greenberg was a legend of a different sort, a lovable lug with a huge bat and a taste for RBIs. He also happened to be professional baseball's first Jewish superstar, a player of terrific power and precision at bat and versatility in the field. But what makes Greenberg immortal is that he stepped up to the role of people's hero in the 30s and the 40s, at a time when Jews all over the world needed such a hero. It was also a time when baseball was pursued by the young Jewish kids of New York and everyone else with the passion of a religion.
So we'd go to shul, and the rabbi would be speaking, and boy, was that boring. So we invented a game where we would be able to play baseball, but not have to talk. It opened the prayer book, and we take a look here, and we take the first letter in the margin, and that first letter is an H, which is a home run. E is an out. S is a single. A is an out. T is a triple. That's 2 runs. Man on third. 3 outs.
The movie dives deep into the lore of the time beautifully, without mythologizing it. Through archival interviews with Greenberg, his family, teammates, and devoted fans, we learn of the man who chose not to play on Yom Kippur, who took all the horrid insults and epithets hurled his way, who left at the height of his career to join the army, and who came back, 4 years later, better than ever, a hero beyond religion or ethnicity. Here from the film is Alan Dershowitz.
He defied every single stereotype. He was they. He was what they all said we could never be. He defied Hitler's stereotype. And for that reason, I think he may have been the single most important Jew to live in the 1930s.
It's a great companion piece to another fine film about another true hero, the Jackie Robinson story. Next, I looked at a film from 2001 that speaks directly to the matter of character. 61, that's 61 with an asterisk, capably directed by Billy Crystal. You might think the title refers to the film's subject, the legendary home run race between Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle in the summer of 1961 to beat Babe Ruth's record of 60 home runs in a single season. Another 61. But the 61 with an asterisk refers to a technicality of the game decided by embittered Commissioner Ford Frick, since the new regular season had 8 more games than in Ruth's time.
No, I say a season's a season.
We know what you're saying, Milt, but something about this, it just doesn't seem right.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Then there should be separate records. One for each season, right, Ford?
Separate records? What are we doing here?
And we can put an asterisk in it, all right? To show the difference, you know what I mean?
Why not?
Yeah. How about
you know, otherwise it just would not be fair to the Babe.
It's a technicality that puts a delightful burr of anxiety in the saddle of the story, but the real charm of the film is how it leads us through the labyrinth of one of the most memorable seasons in Yankee history, through the eyes of the real authors of this drama, Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris. Mickey, the celebrated hard-drinking, hard-playing sports star playboy, nears the end of his career, while his polar opposite Roger Maris, the gawky second-year boy from Fargo, takes it upon himself to sort of rescue his chief rival.
What am I supposed to do, man? Every place I go, even a hotel, say, Mick, you have a drink. Hey, Mick, have a drink. It's a tough town not to have fun in.
No, I can imagine.
You know how it is.
Yeah. Listen, Mick, you know, serving, I got this place in Queens, you know, it's real nice and it's quiet and a nice place, good neighborhood, you know, and heck, sometimes we cook for ourselves and eat in, and other times we're sending out.
What the hell are you talking about?
Well, I was just thinking maybe you'd like to come and live with us.
Let me get this straight. I got a big suite at the St. Moritz Hotel, and you want me to move to Queens.
Well, there she is. Pretty comfortable.
It's the beginning of a beautiful friendship, and the two hold each other up, Roger helping Mickey to take his game a little more seriously, and Mickey helping Roger to lighten up. Roger's so stressed from being hounded by the press and fans that his hair's coming out in clumps. The seeming casual attaboy manner of the pair is the result of two brilliant performances. Tom Jane is the unruffled mantle, and Barry Pepper is the sullen, knotted Maris. The test of character is the story, two men at the crossroads, finding a real need and a real bond for each other. In a way, it's a love story. So maybe I'll go back to the park this year, and as the season progresses, I'll look for players who exemplify the game, who give their all on the field and wear their laurels off the field with respect and a light heart. Unlike fiction, the continuing story of baseball doesn't have an ending. The players, the real players, write their own. Glory is the wind. Character is a long, hard road. And you know, the game needs more mensches. So in the soundtrack of my mind, I won't be playing an overblown fanfare. No, this Irish kid from Chicago will carry a song from the life and times of Hank Greenberg. Mandy Patinkin singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game in Yiddish.
Kevin Murphy's film comments are a regular feature of Weekend Edition.